This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. When it comes to retirement, the picture for many Americans is a bleak one. In today's do-it-yourself world of the 401k plan, most have less than $30,000 saved. A third have nothing at all. Despite this, retirement and savings specialist Teresa Ghilarducci, economics professor at the New School for Social Research in New York City, says there is hope. Her new book is How to Retire with Enough Money and How to Know What Enough Is. I recently spoke to her about saving for your retirement years. Teresa, thank you for joining me today.
Hi.
Tell me, just how bad a shape are most Americans in when it comes to preparing for retirement?
Yeah, well, we're headed for a retirement crisis.
Wow.
Meaning that, you know, that most older people have really a minimum amount of money in their 401k or their IRA. Companies have dumped traditional pensions. And what we have, and thank goodness we have it, is Social Security, which is a pretty strong program. But I wrote my little book. You know, I'm a professor of economics. I get a good salary from my university. But I wrote this book because what I found in my academic research, that not only don't people have enough, but there are a lot of ways that households and individuals can actually just change their behavior a little bit and get enough.
You know, you talked about pensions. You know, previous generations could count on getting a pension, which gave them that defined benefit in retirement. What led us to this point? Where did all this start?
Yeah, so it started around, you know, 1980 when high-income executives lobbied the Internal Revenue Service to have a section in the tax code called the 401k. And all they wanted to do was to save for their retirement, you know, pre-tax. Look, it was never meant to be the Great American Pension System. Otherwise, it would have been called the Great American Pension System, not, you know, 401k. So it was a real accident in history that this became the major way that people were supposed to save for their retirement. I mean, it's just kind of an accident. It's a failed experiment. And I really, in this little book, try to help people kind of navigate the system the best they can.
You know, you're talking about Social Security. How much of a person's income can they count on Social Security to actually replace?
Yeah, great question. So if you're a middle-class person, you can expect Social Security to only replace about 40% of your pre-retirement income. Now, that ain't nothing, you know, but if you want to live on 70% of what you used to earn, you're going to have to save, you're going to have to save more. And my little rule of thumb is that if you want $50,000 in your retirement, you're going to have $400,000 in your retirement accounts to supplement your Social Security and stay on par with your standard of living.
Well, that seems like a pretty tough, pretty tough number to reach. What are some ways that you can things you can do to make saving easier?
Yeah, so you got to know you have to save. You know, so just train your brain to know that you're going to have to cut down on your consumption to be able to save enough to reach that goal. Now, if your listeners are youngish, you know, below age 40, you can do that relatively painlessly. You can save 5 to 15% of your income in a low-fee retirement account. I can't stress enough how important it is to make sure that you don't have pay-high fees. I mean, that can really suck you dry. So you need to save in index funds, and I recommend Vanguard because they have the lowest fees, 5 to 10%. If you're over 40 and you're in your 50s, you have to ask to save a lot more, and it's going to hurt a little bit. You're going to have to downsize. But anybody at any age can really save a lot, can start accumulating a lot more.
So you think downsizing is really not that tough if you put your mind to it?
You know, I think that it actually is more than not tough. It can actually be a little bit fun, and it can also make you feel extraordinarily satisfied that you're living within your means and you're also saving for your future self. And the tips, you know, about saving, are really available. It's actually deeper on the surface in your own brain. You know, first of all, you have to know how much money you have coming in, and you have to know how much you spend. You have to be really mindful about every penny you spend. And you only can do that by getting the data. My husband and I do it every month. You know, we look at our income and we look at our expenditures that month. And after about 6 months, you have a really good sense of yourself. Now, if you downgrade from a latte to a cup of coffee, you can feel like you're in control, but it's really getting your big expenses under control. So can I talk about mortgages and shelter expenditures a little bit?
Oh, sure. Go right ahead.
Okay.
That's an important part of the whole retirement pie,
yeah.
Isn't it? Yeah. The whole puzzle.
Yeah, it really is. And if you do your budget, you could see that there's big sinkholes. You know, it's the big sinkhole is how much you're spending a month for your housing. And if you're honest, how much you spend on your repair and on furniture. You know, and all that money, that bucket you spend on your shelter. So it's really important to put in your budget paying off your mortgage. And every time you pay it off, like you double your payment towards your principal, you're giving money to yourself and not the bank. Now, if you enjoy giving money to banks, go ahead and have a big mortgage, you know. But most of us like the fact, get a little bit of pleasure in keeping money for yourself and not giving it to a bank. So pay off your mortgage before you retire. And if you're younger and you're actually switching, or buying a new house, make sure that your mortgage is no longer than 12 years. And if you can pay it off, you know, between 6 to 12 years, you're better off. And that means being aggressive and defying the advice that you get from your real estate broker or your bank. Do not listen to them when they say, well, you could afford this huge, you know, house or another bedroom. Listen to your own heart and to your own spreadsheet. Buy the house or apartment you can afford to pay it off when you hit retirement or within 12 years.
So as long as we're talking about debt, Teresa, I take it that paying off debt can be even better than investing.
You know what? It's the only place you're going to get a decent rate of return. So think about it. Say you're paying your bank 4% for your mortgage. You know, that's after the tax deduction, if you really get a tax deduction. When you pay the bank and you pay off a loan that charges 4% or a credit card loan that costs 10% and you pay it off, you are earning 4 to 10% certain rate of return. And you can't get that kind of guaranteed rate of return anywhere on the planet. So paying off your debt is a form of saving, and it's often the best return savings account you can do.
Teresa, I want to go back to Social Security for a couple minutes here. There's a lot of skepticism about Social Security, whether it's solvent enough to keep working properly. What do you say about the health of that system?
Yeah, well, so the fear factor really increases if, like, the President of the United States, you know, the top political elite, says that the Social Security won't be there. So more and more people are feeling actually more confident about Social Security. You know, the worst fear about Social Security was during the George W. Bush administration when he kept on trying to privatize it. So the facts are, and every expert knows, that the Social Security system is completely solvent if we do a few simple things. One of them is to tax everybody's income to pay into the Social Security system. Right now, we stop paying Social Security if we have salaries that are over $118,500 per year. Now, most people don't have those kind of high salaries and pay Social Security tax throughout their whole year. Everybody pays Medicare tax throughout the whole year, but for some high-income people, they stop paying after $118,500 per year. If we just make everybody pay the entire year, there's enough revenue coming into the system because we raised the earnings cap on Social Security tax to make the system solvent for 100 years or more, and actually there's enough money to expand the system. So politically, we need to have leaders that are brave enough to raise taxes on the very highest earners.
Oh, that's a tough one.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, I think we're getting there. We understand that income inequality and wealth inequality has never been higher. You know, it's And even wealthy people say, hey, I want to pay my fair share. And Social Security is actually the system that binds us as a nation. You know, it's a universal program. We're all in it. Even rich people need to have old people, you know, not vulnerable and spending money. And so Social Security revenue is actually the best way to kind of stabilize our economy.
Well, what's the best way for an individual to maximize Social Security benefits?
Yeah, so I'm really glad you asked that. Most people don't realize that Social Security will give you a big increase in their lifetime benefits if you just delay collecting. Now, there's some people who are pretty sick and pretty low income who might need to collect Social Security at 62, but that's actually very few of us. Most of us can actually limp along and wait to collect our Social Security, past 62. If you delay collecting Social Security between 62 and to about age 67, you get a 6.75 rate of return on your money. If you delay collecting between about 67 to 70, you get an 8% return on your delay collecting. So if you wait to collect, and don't collect at 62, and you wait until you can get your maximum benefit at age 70, you can get an over 35% increase in your lifetime benefit. And to most of us, we're going to live way past 70. That's a really good deal. Your survivor and your spouse also gets that increase. So delay collecting Social Security is a really money-wise decision.
I'm talking with Teresa Ghilarducci. She's a labor economist and retirement security expert, about her new book, How to Retire with Enough Money and How to Know What Enough Is. So that is a great question right there, Teresa. How do you know what enough is?
Well, there's some rules of thumb I put in my book that comes from experts. And, hold on to your hat because it's a big number, right?
Right. You said $400,000 in an earlier example, and I went, whoa, no.
Yeah, I know. You're probably not 65.
No.
You can get there if you save money and you avoid paying high fees. So what people need to do is just sort of multiply by 8, to get enough money. But it really is easy if you are aggressive about avoiding fees. You might have heard that you need to be aggressive and take risks in your investment portfolio. I don't think so. The biggest risk you need to take is to offend that person who wants to manage your money and charge a high fee. That's where you need to be aggressive.
Now, are there good sources out there for retirement calculators if people want to use those?
You know, I really like the AARP.org calculator. I also use a calculator that a columnist in the Wall Street Journal recommended, dinkytown.com. It's pretty complicated. The AARP retirement calculator is a little bit simpler. So I would just actually have everybody start with the AARP calculator. And make sure that you actually change the assumptions. Don't assume that you're going to earn 7% on your money. Say you're going to earn 3% on your money, and that can make people's savings goals a little bit more realistic.
I guess better to figure a little on the low side and be pleasantly surprised later, right?
Absolutely. There's no harm in having more money than you need, but there's a lot of harm in not having enough.
Now, you're a proponent of the guaranteed retirement account. Can you explain what that is?
Yeah, so it's an idea. It's a proposal that a lot of us have that Congress mandates that all employers provide a pension plan. Pretty radical idea, right? Not. We now have national health insurance, and that was just a sensible thing to do because people don't have health insurance actually, impose costs on all of us who do. They get sick, they go to the emergency room. Everybody needs to be covered by health insurance. In the same vein, everybody needs to be covered by a pension. And so we need a guaranteed retirement account that supplements Social Security. It differs from Social Security because it's advanced funded. It's your own account. It has stocks and bonds and other financial assets in it. But it's more like the benefits that the pension plans that we lost when employers started stopped their voluntary sponsorship of defined benefit plans. So it actually catches up with the rest of the world by saying, you know, everybody in America needs Social Security, which is a base of support, and they also need an occupational, a workplace plan on top of that. So I've actually basically mandate that all employers have a pension plan.
What kind of movement is there toward making the GRA a reality?
You know, I'm really surprised about how popular it is. We're getting a lot of inquiries from members of Congress to sponsor legislation to mandate employer pensions. And a lot of employers are interested in doing it, especially small and medium-sized employers, because they really don't like the 401k industry also. 23 states are considering statewide guaranteed retirement accounts. And I was just at the New York mayor's press conference yesterday, where the city of New York is proposing to require that all their employers have a pension plan. So there's a lot of grassroots support for the GRA idea.
And so you think this is something that will eventually happen?
I think it's going to happen within 2 or 3 years.
Well, Teresa, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.
Thanks for your time.
Labor economist and retirement security expert Teresa Ghilarducci. Her new book is How to Retire with Enough Money and How to Know What Enough Is.